Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again for another episode of the Nolcast. Bud, spring officially wrapped up yesterday, Sunday, with their final practice of the year that obviously a lot of people were able to watch the spring showcase on Saturday. And I don't know that we'll spend a whole lot of time breaking that down, but we can, you know, discuss what we saw and what kind of trends that we saw throughout all the practices leading up to it that were prevalent in that game and what some of the takeaways may be. Look forward to this conversation as always. Want to thank our friends, the legendary home loan group, done more than 550 Nolcast home loans over their time. To for the gentleman whose voice you will see soon hear. And Bud, you've worked with him twice, said nothing but great experience.
Yeah, dude. No, I really, really enjoyed working with Chad. Did an awesome job. You know, 500 Nolcast loans is incredible. How was the pregame Battles End thing?
We are live. That's awesome. No, man, it was great. We did four events over the weekend. The event Friday night with the moon was it was of larger scale than anything that we've done before. It was a lot of fun. It was great to hear from Coach Norvell. I thought, you know, Coach was just – he was in his element. Sometimes, you know, Coach can maybe overemphasize things a little bit. You had some kind of a mildly relaxed Mike Norvell, I would say. And it was great to hear him. You know, he was up there for 25 minutes or so, giving you, you know, every thought on overall themes, position group by position group. It was just it was a unique event. Then we had a fan autograph signing, kind of a fan day thing. That was great. Got a bunch of always great to see kids be able to interact with, you know, football players and get balls and posters and pictures taken. And it's also a great reminder as to how many just exceptional young men make up the Florida State football team. They've got a great locker room with a lot of really good people on it, and it's great to see them interact with fans as well.
Yeah, man. Let's start there, because I've got a bunch of random thoughts that I've been kind of sitting on this spring, and as the transfer portal opened, you know, I saw a lot of names jump into the transfer portal who are basically failures elsewhere in their first stop, not failures in life. And certainly they all have the chance to do better at their next destination. But man, I saw a good number of names that I just know for a fact from my sources that FSU passed on due to basically character. You know, when I talk to my sources in the program, it's basically, man, that guy's not really a fit for not for what, like what we do, but like for how we work, or for how we want our locker room to be.
These are guys at other schools that have gotten in the portal the last couple of days.
No, I'm saying like guys that I know out of high school FSU passed on.
Right.
Due to basically, let's call it like character or competitive character.
Right.
And they have now failed at other schools, you know.
And are getting in the portal.
Yes, now they're in the portal.
Yeah, got it.
So I think like, clearly, I mean, they've had what, zero arrest under Mike Norvell? Like that's a statistical outlier, obviously, but like that's a hell of a, like that's crazy low of a number. And I do think that there is some purpose behind that. Like they do really care about, you know, having a team as opposed to just like a collection of individuals. And that's not saying everybody's going to fly straight constantly, but I have just kind of taken note. I'm like, okay, they thought that kid was a dumbass. They didn't like how that kid acted. They did their homework on this kid and just said, that's not a fit for our locker room. And it has kind of come home to roost in a way that makes, you know, makes Derek Ray's team look pretty smart there. So I kind of take notes on this. And, you know, certainly there are things that I think they could do better in high school recruiting, but that is something like we really need to give them their praise on because it's been pretty noticeable over the last few days. And oftentimes the kid's not working out for the reasons that this staff passed, actually.
Yeah, it's impressive. I mean, holistic's a buzzword that gets used too much. I'm not going to say that, but it is a thorough evaluation process. Yeah. And it is, you know, it is comprehensive. And there have been times where they have picked up on things that I've been very impressed by. Like, you know, oh, well, this guy wasn't quite what we thought he would be in the interview. And then 2 weeks later, the thing that they caught in the interview, you see be an issue. Either at another program where he's visiting or whatever. So I will give the team their credit that it is a impressive evaluation process. And it's Derek Ray, definitely. It's position coaches. It's position coaches who draw on relationships that they have from their geographic area on character evaluation.
Sure. Yeah,
it is comprehensive, and they know what they're looking for, and may not always lead to you know, the most high school stars next to somebody's name or whatever else, but you know, they've got their process, they live by it, and the results have been very impressive. So, yeah, man, that's a good little start into it. As far as Saturday, look, I don't, you know, it is a showcase. It's a good little reminder when 5 minutes into it, they start doing drills and position drills and stuff, that this is not, you know, the spring game of 20 years ago. But still, you know, there's opportunities to look at constant themes and recurring themes, and just in the chat. Aaron Hester, he's been solid all spring practice, and continued to show that. You know, there are guys who have performed at a high level, and that level of performance was evident again on Saturday. So, you know, we can just talk about some of the things that we can take away from a data point where I'm hesitant to come off. You know, I don't want to put in a stock of really anything that I saw Saturday that hadn't already presented itself throughout the practices leading up to, you know, the spring showcase.
Totally. I also don't love the use of the word showcase, and it's not your branding on it. Obviously, it's FSU's, but it is an opportunity to showcase things, and you could do things differently if you wanted to put a better spin on the product in some ways, certainly. But that is not what we saw. It is really, they should just call it Florida State Live Practice, because that's basically what it is. And Norvell and his program are about the work. I think, like, the work is one of the best things they do. Some of the salesmanship stuff is probably, you know, maybe not the best strength, right? But, like, the guy's results are the guy's results. They're freaking awesome. So they're going to use all 15 practices to get their work in. And you know what? Fans get to come watch some. Now, I'm sure there's a little bit of showcase stuff in there, obviously. Having some of the former players do some coaching is a pretty cool touch. And FSU can't really control what the TV product is like. So as ACC Network, there's some things they could probably do to facilitate a little bit better, but that's kind of nitpicking there. But, like, Adam Fuller's running real blitzes in this thing, okay? And you have a pretty damn good secondary of guys who are going to hear their names called on draft day. And some other programs are not doing that. They're going, like, really vanilla. They're trying to sort of send a message, hey, look how improved our offense is. Look how attractive this thing is to play in. You know, Michigan, for instance, their offense did not look very good in the spring game. And you know what? They just hired the DC from the Ravens, who's like Dr. Blitz, you know, and he was blitzing like crazy. I'm like, you know what? Fuller did the same thing. So you got to kind of keep in perspective what you saw. If they went crazy vanilla on you, I think you'd probably see some pretty good numbers out of the offense. Now, nothing's perfect, but they're not doing this thing for the fans or for promo. They're basically just letting you in on a little bit of a juiced up practice. Like, it's not a game, and it's, they're not holding a lot back on defense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, very true. At the same time, something that we've talked about for 10 years or so. I mean, you just, as defenders, there's only so many offensive plays that really get introduced throughout a spring, and you start to see your tells and you know, whether it's an offensive lineman split or a certain motion package that, you know, I'm just hesitant. I've said this ad nauseum, particularly, you know, the linebacker position or particular positions that, you know, if you've got an area that you know you've got to drop to or whatever that you can pick up on the tail, I think you can get some false ideas as to defenders. And I'm hesitant to take away too much just from spring in general, because after that first week, if you're a heady player, you can get a pretty good idea as to what is coming your way.
Carson Beck said the same thing, by the way. So the reports out of Georgia were that Georgia's offense killed Georgia's defense in the first scrimmage, kind of killed him in the second scrimmage. And in the spring game, Georgia's defense looked pretty good against Carson Beck and a bunch of, you know, probable high round draft picks at UGA. And he's like, dude, at some point, like, you face these guys 15 days in a row, they just kind of know what you're running.
Right.
Yeah, completely. That's not just an FSU thing.
Yeah. I will say, people that like continually stood out to me, it's not going to be this year. It'll be next year, and next year's defensive backs will be fun to watch because there'll be a ton of super talented young guys. Like Quindarius is somebody that I look at two or three times at practice, and I'm like, ooh, that's a different level athlete with a little bit of a different type of body. I think Quindarius, Edwin, not trying to put pressure on the kid, but Charles Lester is legit. Like you got what you thought you did from the high school level on him. There's a whole lot of young defensive backs that are going to watch Fentrell and AZ take the majority of the snaps this year and Earl Little at the nickel position most likely. But man, the future is wildly bright as to what's out there. And a lot of those kids had really solid spring. I didn't see the first half of spring. My understanding just from talking to people is that like Edwin Joseph's second half of spring was significantly better than the first half. And it started to come on for him. So
the corner you got from Miami who got hurt, he was also having a really nice
Jamar
really,
Howard really nice, was yeah, starting really nice to absolutely.
Yeah. I think your note on Lester is pretty important. Like if you're listening at home, don't gloss over that. Because he was a highly rated guy. But I think he was actually better as a junior than he was as a senior. So it's nice to see in his first semester on campus that he is bouncing back and playing, I think, to that level that you hoped he would be based off his junior stuff and based off his camp performances. On the field as a senior, I didn't think he was amazing, right? Like he actually got, not to say cooked, but he got beat more than I was like, damn, I'd like to see a little bit more out of Charles Lester as a senior. So it's really good to see that he is bouncing back in that way, man. That's maybe not bouncing back, but like just meeting the expectations, the really high expectations that he had coming out of his junior year of high school. Like that's a good note there. A guy who I would say had a much better second half of spring camp than first. And Mike Norvell noted this. Marvin Jones Jr.
Yeah, that's again, I don't want to go full blown, you know, crazy expectations and optimism, but the staff feedback that I heard, and trust me, I don't talk to everybody, and Mike Norvell is not going to update me on anything, but they were pretty pleased with Jones Jr., you know, the people that I talked to throughout spring. Now, he probably, you know, continued to raise his game and maybe did it in a manner in which they didn't think it was just a one-off play or whatever else. Should we expect that kid to be an All-American or something like that? No, you know, let's not get crazy, but that is the type of spring that you would want to see from a kid if you thought that there was this vast, vast amount of kind of untapped potential there. And again, I'm not trying to get into just tons of hyperbole and stuff, but that kid has a takeoff that is different than anything I've seen. That's a first step that is truly unique. And I think you've got a great complimentary piece in Sione Lolo Lahela, who's just tough as hell and solid and consistent. Tomo Adoraje saw some action at end, but you know, as you know, again, when you're out there at practice, you got 8 different position groups going on at once. It's not like just because you're at practice doesn't mean you have an idea as to what's going on. Let me put it that way. It, when I saw him as spring went on, it looked more like he was repping, you know, on the interior and in certain packages. But I think you should be really excited about what you have at end and edge and what that's going to look like. Pat Payton was Pat Payton all spring and continued to work really hard. And I think he's put himself in a place to have another really special year.
If I said, hey, Patrick Payton is going to command double teams and Marvin Jones Jr. is going to have a lot of one-on-one blocking opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very good about where FSU sits in those situations.
Right. I'd say number 5 is probably going to be an All-American too, if that's the case. If you have to double Payton, I'm not sure what you're doing with Farmer. Good luck.
Yeah, completely agree. So I feel good about the defensive line. I feel quite good about the secondary, both short and long term there, you know, for the secondary. And I think that's important context to frame sort of what we saw from some of the other positions. So, you know, you look at this and it's like receiver was a weakness of the team. That doesn't mean that like they suck compared to like the average college football team. Okay. Like I think we're at a point now with the program that just went 13-0 to where we're kind of using like, you know, big time program standards. That's how FSU fans think about a program that's been like one of the winningest in the last, you know, 40 years. You know, and clearly like the receiver room right now, it will scare some teams in the ACC. It's not going to scare a lot of teams if you were to make the playoff. You know, I look at this roster and this team, and I've been working my power numbers, and I would have this team somewhere between like 5th and 7th in the SEC and somewhere between like 3rd and 5th in the Big Ten as of right now. Now, I think there's definitely some room for moving up and moving down. But because you're in the ACC, like you've got a real shot to win the conference and to make the playoff. Like the schedule is an important part of this, especially after watching that Notre Dame spring game. Like losing 2 highly rated NFL draft offensive tackles. I'm not sure Notre Dame is automatic to replace those guys, if you catch my drift here. And if you're Marvin Jones Jr. watching that Notre Dame offensive line, you're like, okay, y'all think Byers got problems? Let's see what happens in South Bend. So I was encouraged that Hakeem continues to give high effort in blocking. I liked what I saw out of Benson before he got hurt. Assuming that's not going to be anything like long term impacting the season. The way that they're kind of talking about the receiver room, I obviously don't think it's prudent to count on Hill for this fall. Obviously, you know, he was seen in crutches with a bandage, which they haven't announced surgery, but generally that's what that is. If you're, you know, so I do think that's an obvious area where they could use some help. We just saw Vandravius Jacobs transfer out. Disappointing. I think they knew he had some issues coming out of high school, like not criminal type stuff, but like we said, man, Norvell's program is really, it is about the work, and there's a certain standard, you know, to which you, you have to kind of have to comply.
Yeah.
And show up to stuff, be on time, be accountable. Like it is kind of 1 through 85 that you have to work.
Mike is all over every practice group, literally running around practice to every drill, but if you're playing wide receiver for Mike Norvell, you realize that's he's going to be hands-on. I mean, he is very active, and the expectations are very high on every drill, every rep, everything. Yeah, it's disappointing because I was there last year a lot, and there were times where, you know, granted, this is before Keon was on the roster and Johnny wasn't super active last year in spring practice at times. Yeah, and Vandravius Jacobs was, if you just walked in there, no ideas to who was who on roster or what age anybody else was. You could have left practice thinking that was your number one wide receiver. I mean, the kid flashed last year in a really impressive way. But even then, by the end of spring, I think some of that had started to wane slightly. And it just wasn't, you know, they were never able to replicate that level of play. So a really talented kid. Wish him the best. He'll have success somewhere, assuming he, you know, goes to the right place and continues to work at it. And, you know, wide receiver is just it's a position to watch. You know, there's just probably some – it's just a place that if you're going to play at Florida State, there's an expectation from the head coach. And he's very hands-on, and it's a position that, you know, there's standards got to be met. So
obviously, like, you can't comment on it and probably shouldn't, like, but, like, watching the spring game, there were big-time opportunities for some guys to stand out, and they just didn't, you know. And I personally, I'm like, okay, that's probably the end of the line. If you haven't been able to stand out in this receiver room so far, and this is your, you know, fourth year in the program, might need to go, you know, drop down a level, whether that's maybe to a, you know, bottom half, you know, P4 type team, or maybe go play some G4 ball, or some group of five ball somewhere else on some of these guys. But I mean, that's sort of an obvious area that you know that they could improve. I'm definitely not out on Hakeem. I think they're going to give that guy a lot of reps because he does, you know, he is blocking, got to have more consistency in the routes, got to catch the ball consistently.
I mean, look, but you don't go get a five-star wide receiver to block. But what is blocking indicative of? Effort and buy-in. Okay.
Buy-in, right.
Yeah. So that's there. I've gotten to know Hakeem slightly over the past 2 years. Kid who works really hard, very humble. I have 100% faith that Hakeem Williams at the end of the day is going to blossom into the athlete that you see walk into practice. Okay. Very hard worker. Mike knows the potential there. Okay. Mike, like, Hakeem does not get to just go through practice. Every rep is in an effort to try to get him to what his ultimate ceiling is. And the ceiling is, very, very high. I started to make a Michael Jordan joke there and just passed on it. The ceiling is exceptionally high.
Completely. There are certain areas of this team where I feel like they have to address via the portal, or probably should or could. And then there are certain areas where you have to coach around. Okay. And when we think about this team's strengths and weaknesses, I would say, like, I ranked these like a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago. Portal evaluation has been tremendous over multiple years. I think that continues this year. But, like, they chose to go with Byers, you know, and they had Bless Harris on this roster. And they certainly didn't tell Bless Harris to go away, but, like, common sense says you're not going to keep a guy of that caliber as a backup in almost any situation once he's an upperclassman, which Bless obviously is. I think Bless only had one more year to play, right?
I believe that to be right.
So, like, Bless Harris was not going to sit and be a backup when you can go and make starter money somewhere else and actually get starters reps, which, like, eventually you do all the work to play, you know?
As I recall that, that was the reps part of that equation is what was the focus at the time.
When I look at Byers, like, I'm not saying that he won't have some challenges and struggles in pass pro against the very best guys you play. I think he will. Okay. And Hester got him some in the spring game, and nobody's confusing Hester as a superstar. But this team, you get 70 plays in a game, maybe 65 with some of the new clock rule stuff. How many times are you doing real dropbacks? Like, not off play action, not RPO stuff, not quick game, not screens. I think with the amount of weapons you have out of the backfield, throwing the ball to backs and stuff too, I just, how many times a game is Byers going to be asked to pass pro without maybe a tight end helping him chip, or without the aid of play action, you know, or something like that? I don't think it's that many. So I put the Byers issue in the coach around. You have to coach around. You have to scheme around that. You pick that guy. You like his ability to run block. You like the physicality. Emphasize that. You got it. I mean, you're just going to, it's going to be a known thing. You have to help him out with either a tight end chipping. I think you really like what Roydell brings, by the way, in pass pro to help out with some of the blitz pickup stuff. And it's great to see Darius Washington playing well. So I'm a little less worried about that than some are.
Yeah. Again, we're taking a lot of away from a couple plays, but also Kazai Holmes showed both running the ball, had a couple really good runs. Obviously, the one where he kind of runs over Shy. The run where he, he's 7 or 8 yards into it and keeps his balance and runs for another 5 or 6. Really impressed. I just thought Kazai Holmes was really good. And that's kind of where I wanted to go with that after your comments about Byers as a blocker. Like, all right, y'all, like, it, I'll just go ahead and say this, and you can judge me on it. Cam Davis won't carry the ball more than 3 times before you realize, oh, that kid's special. Like, there's that is a legit, maybe his first carry goes for 2 yards up the middle or something, but he will flash, and he will flash early. You got one there. You got a real player. Toa Philly is dynamic, great player. Look forward to seeing how they use him, and he's going to be a significant part of your offense. Roydell, an absolute hit, will bring great diversity. Singleton, I think, is going to have some kind of role. Now, it might be a role where he gets 2 to 5 touches a game or something like that, but that kid's continued to emerge. My point here is you have an absolute stable of running backs, and you've got an offensive line that's, particularly with the addition of Leonard and Ferguson, you can move some people around. Okay. I'm just curious as to what this looks like and how run game focused you are. It is an oversimplification to then talk about, play action and letting DJU throw the ball 70 yards downfield. But, I think we've got an idea as to what this offense is going to look like. And my point being is I don't know how often it will feature a tackle just out on an island trying to block a defensive end. So,
they may not play a lot of 12, like with two tight ends on the field, but I'd be surprised if they actually play a lot of 4-wide stuff. Like, you didn't go out and get DJU to throw the ball 40 times a game. Okay. Like you said, you went out and got big offensive linemen. You got a power, sort of feel back with Roydell. He's not a burner, obviously. You went out and took one receiver in the transfer portal. Okay. And you really think this defense is pretty damn good again. The actions of the staff in the December portal window are signaling to you what this team is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're trying to supplement that now. I think the spring portal is much less fruitful than some in the media thought it was going to be. I know there were a lot of people. I know you didn't think it was going to be absolutely insane. I didn't either, really. But still, like, there would be some, two receivers in the spring portal. Excuse me. But I guess that depends on how you.
What, are they including Lucas?
I guess, but to me, he's more of like a gadget back guy.
I mean, if you're a practice.
He's a running back.
Yeah.
Oh, Jalen Brown. Sorry, but he's a
developer. Jalen Brown, absolutely. Yeah. And Jalen Brown was better than I thought he was going to be. I'll just say that 100%. Jalen Brown was good from practice one. May take a year for it to be there, may not. But Jalen Brown was impressive throughout spring.
Yeah. Marcus Lee says Roydell is better than Trayshon Ward. I think so. Yeah. They both lack top-end speed. Roydell's got more power. Want to see Roydell do it in games as far as the feel for the offense, but I think there's some there. I do. So that's encouraging. All right. So, like, you got to coach around the right tackle somewhat, but I think they're going to be heavy run, heavy play action, heavy screen team. I don't think there's going to be a lot of drop back. Does that make it so it's hard to pull really good comebacks in games if you do get down? It does. a little bit. I don't think you're going to be playing from behind all that much with this football team, not with this defense. So I think you're going to limit explosive plays, and it's going to be more of a run game defense team so far. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Want to thank our friends at Congruity real quickly here. Matt Lewis has been a great friend of ours and a great asset for our business, whether it be payroll, HR, assistance when it comes to tax time. I can just tell you, having touched on multiple points here with Matt over the past couple of years, multiple businesses, that Congruity is absolutely your friend. CongruityHR.com is the website. CongruityHR.com/Knowles. For a FSU-specific web page generated by our relationship, or reflective of our relationship over the years. Matt is a fantastic Seminole ardent supporter of Florida State, and somebody that is worth talking to if you're looking to improve upon certain aspects of the way that your business operates. Big thank you to Congruity for their support of the Knollcast.
Awesome partners of ours, for sure. See, chat says it worked for Harbaugh in Michigan. Yeah, I don't think this team is that level of team. Also, it worked for Harbaugh in Michigan. Like, guys, JJ McCarthy is odds on now to be a top five pick in the draft. Like, he doesn't suck. So yes, but stylistically, yeah, I think they will try to try to pound some teams this year. And see how that goes. We have also seen that Norvell has absolutely been willing to use the backs in the pass protection game a lot. Go back to his time at Memphis. We profiled this three shows ago when they threw a whole lot of balls to backs. Like, the one year the guy caught 70 balls. I mean, they're going to manufacture touches for Jalen Lucas to try to create explosive plays. Some will work and some will probably hit pretty big. I think they are okay with that little, kind of boom bust type thing. Given what you lost off last year's team, and given the level at which this staff so far has recruited high school, and they've had some real challenges due to COVID, and obviously like a really rocky start, and they're still kind of building momentum there in some ways, I think the job they have done to get this team up to a level that it can still contend to possibly make the playoff, and still contend for the ACC, and they're clearly one of the ACC favorites, is very impressive. And you look at this, like, I think they'll tell you DJ's a hit in their evaluation already. Roy Dell, obviously, I think they're pretty happy with all three of the defensive linemen that they took for the purpose taken. I mean, Sione is what they thought he would be. Marvin Jones Jr., I think, actually probably exceeded a little bit already what they thought he'd be. Knock on wood, he can stay healthy, obviously. Tomey, I feel like, is a guy they knew was not going to be an instant impact down-to-down guy this year, but needed some development, but they liked the upside. I think the Brown kid they took at DB is probably exceeding expectations a little bit, which is fantastic. As well. I mean, the only one that I think is still TBD at this point is probably Murphy. And he had such limited snaps at Alabama that it's kind of hard to see. But even if you call him a bust, which I'm not going to call him a bust yet, that hit rate is freaking ridiculous, man. And look, a hit rate in the portal should be high. It should be high because it's a lot less projection involved in high school. Yep. But I still think FSU's hit rate is a hell of a lot better than some other teams out there. Out of the portal, like, they're not taking very many, if any, guys in here through the portal. You're like, oh shoot, that guy can't play.
Yeah, and not. And I think you take guys out of the portal because you need assistance, but you also, and I think Tomey falls into this window as well. You're happy to have him on your roster for multiple years, and that Murphy's a linebacker with elite traits, and if you listen to the parents and you listen to the players that play for Randy Shannon, I'll tell you that he's a very good developer of talent. So you get somebody like that in the system and let Randy work with him over, 6 months, a year, and see what comes of it. Murphy's, you know, Murphy, you look at Murphy, you see a reaction, you see the ability to move that, you know, is, you can see why he was thought of and the manner that he was coming out of high school. I want to point out just real quickly a comment in the chat from Nick. I believe it was great to see. Yeah, to see. So the coaches were Corey Simon, Tommy Polly, Travis Miner, and Peter Warwick. And if you're somebody the age of myself, that was pretty freaking cool. But got was able to spend a little bit of time with Peter Warwick, and I talked to Travis Miner about his recruitment a lot, because Miner was the USA Today Offense Player of the Year, legitimately one of the five most recruited kids in his class, and his recruiting went like 4 days past signing day, which at that time was unheard of. Pretty much everybody signed the morning of signing day and had it over with. But it was just cool to listen to him, how he made his decision. And I think his dad was kind of not necessarily pushing him, but wanting him to consider Notre Dame and the conversations that they had about him ultimately choosing Florida State. My point is, we had Peter Warwick sign some stuff for the Battles End tied to those bricks, and also had Jared Verse, who was down there, do some stuff. I think we could have that stuff up by the end of the week, and we'll have kind of a secondary rollout of some of that merchandise and or just not merchandise, but more artifacts from Doak Campbell Stadium. But Nick, I appreciate your comment. Those things, the bricks are still available for sale. I think there may be a bleacher or two, a bleacher seat available, but you know, that stuff went, and that stuff went really quickly. So we'll try to do some stuff like that in the future as well. And I'll let you know when we have the Verse and Peter Warwick offerings up officially.
Dude, that is, anything Peter Warwick. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I did see some good news for Jared, potentially in some of the betting markets this morning. So it looks like the odds of Turner from Alabama are slipping a little bit. Hmm. So Jared's haven't moved a ton. It looks like Latu, the kid from UCLA, but I was listening to a draft podcast and they said that if Turner doesn't go, where the Falcons pick, 9 maybe or 8. If Turner doesn't go there, he actually could slide behind both Latu and Jared because the Falcons like to drop their defensive ends with this new DC into coverage more. And that is something that Turner does the best of the three premier ends in the draft. But other teams around that range, sort of that late, you know, kind of 10 to 25 range, most of them don't need a dropper from the defensive end position. So fingers crossed. Like, that could be really cool for Jared.
Yeah, yeah.
I also saw Fabian Lovett slide into some fifth-round stuff in some of these seven-round mocks.
That would be good. That'd be cool, for Fabian. Look forward to see Jarian Jones, where he gets drafted, Renardo Green, just a bunch of – bunch of good dudes, man, who worked really hard, and I'm excited to see what Thursday, Friday, and Saturday looks like for him.
Yeah, I did see Jarian made the Yahoo Sports All Juice team, which is a really cool thing. There was a writer named Perez Taylor, Terrace Paylor, and they consult with a bunch of scouts and kind of do like a, all right, you got to take a guy in this range, got to take a guy in this range, got to take a guy in that range, and he was the he was the dude they took, I think, in like the third round.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, man. So
I will also say that like Jordan Travis was at the spring game. And so like Jordan, you know, obviously was able to play in the era of NIL and did well. And I'm sure had a great time in Tallahassee. I'm not trying to like make him out to be like he had this burden. But I would tell you that I'm not sure I could handle how many people constantly want Jordan Travis's autograph if I was Jordan Travis. Like, it is, that's a lot, man. I mean, you literally just have hundreds of kids screaming your name at any point in time if you're, you know, walking around the field or whatever else. To his credit, Jordan goes over and tries to sign every autograph and is awesome about it, but that is a level of like star in the eyes of fandom that I'm not sure we've seen since, you know, Jameis. And even then with Jameis, it was like we may legitimately be talking about like Peter Warwick, since there was someone like that, that the fan base was that just, you know, whether you want to use infatuation or whatever term, that's an interesting burden to carry, the manner that Jordan literally can't, you know, just limited in how much he can even go out at times. So it's something to think of. Those kids balance and carry a lot.
Dude, that is cool. Do we know what JT wants to do, like, after his pro career is over? Has he talked about it yet?
I don't. I mean, it would not surprise me to see him go into some kind of coaching, but I don't know exactly. I mean, his brother has done some media stuff, and I think he's in coaching now in a farm team. His brother's a super great dude. That was legitimately one of my favorite experiences this year. It was good to know Jordan's dad and his brother, both great people. Mom's wonderful as well, but his dad's an awesome guy, and you see where Jordan gets a lot of both his genetics and his responsibility comes from. Good people. So,
dude, that is really cool. All right, so other transfer portal type stuff. Again, it's not a great portal cycle so far. We'll see if anything else changes this weekend. I think it's kind of notable, and it is a commentary on the roster that FSU has assembled. I find that the quality of player that FSU is seemingly passing on in this spring portal window is a commentary on the quality of the roster that FSU has built. Does that make sense? Like, they're pretty, I think they like what they have at most positions. There was a comment in here, me versus Echo Chamber said, this year's team feels like a rebuild and a reload at the same time. To use sort of the gun analogy there, you kind of emptied the clip with all the stuff you just sent to the draft, and maybe you don't got eight in your clip this time. Maybe you got six, but it's not empty. Like, they really, you're not just, you know, chipping a chair, one bullet here. So, that's kind of mixing poker and gun analogies. Apologies, but yeah, you guys get what I'm saying. Like, they've done a nice job rebuilding this thing. They really have. And if you go out and have another nice year, maybe put three double-digit win seasons together in a row, like, that's really, really solidifying it. And I also think maybe some time, like, FSU's not known as real negative recruiting type team, but they do have the internet, and you could note that almost all of the four stars from Miami's 2022 signing class are gone. If you wanted to know, I mean, you don't have to know, but you could take notice of.
They do, in fact, have the internet. Yes, that I can't confirm.
Cyrus Moss, Nigel Kelly, Jaleel Skinner, Chris Graves, Trevante Citizen, Kamari Rogers, Wesley Bissanth, Marquise Williams, Ja'Kari Brown, Isaiah Horton. A lot of names on that list are no longer there. That's not a unique Miami thing. That first full class you take is largely going to be bust from my experience. But it does from some programs that negatively recruit you pretty hard as far as the high school stuff. Might be able to kind of point around, and be like, hey, Spider-Man meme. we shall see. Some other thoughts here. I did watch Notre Dame spring game. I still expect Riley Leonard to be their starting quarterback. He didn't play because he hurt his eye or had another surgery or whatever, but he's already doing 7-on-7 work. So I think that the mystery there, as far as him playing or not against you, is largely he's going to play unless he gets a different injury. Offensive line, though, definitely some questions. And that's a game that I feel a little bit better about after watching that. I wasn't sure what they had after Joe Alt, who's like the clear best tackle prospect in this draft, and after Blake Fisher, who's also expected to be a top three or four round pick. And I think if you're Patrick Payton and you're Marvin Jones Jr., you are probably excited to go play that game.
Mm-hmm.
So that one looks all right. You know, Florida, Florida looked okay. I don't know how good that defense is going to be. And SMU, notably, continues to lose good prospects. I was operating with a list of sort of teams that I think are very likely to win the league, which for me is basically Florida State, Clemson, Miami in some order, and then sort of a slightly larger outer circle, which would include Virginia Tech and NC State, mainly for scheduling reasons because of some of the teams they do and don't draw. And then a slightly larger list, like if everything goes perfect, could you have a dream season? And that sort of outer ring included SMU, but it no longer does. I'm now out on the ceiling of SMU. You lose a starting tackle. You lose a starting center that Oklahoma wanted very badly. You lose a decent D lineman. That's just too much for a team like SMU to lose as it makes the transition to the ACC. And that's a road game you play. So keeping the fans apprised on that. You're a big boy program. You have what should be a lot of gimmies on this schedule, I think. It's college football, stuff happens, but
I do a lot of fun trips on this year's schedule. Even if you aren't going to Dublin, trip to Chicago, trip to Dallas, good times. So
absolutely, man.
No better place to have good times than Charlie Park. I did not get up there on this trip, but I do have reservations for this next weekend as I go back. Charlie Park, just an awesome spot. I'll also tell you, bud, having spent as much time as I have in Tallahassee, have made friends with one or two bartenders or one or two people kind of in the industry, and it's hilarious. It's like Charlie Park is where almost every person in Tallahassee wants to try to work. If you're a cook, if you're a server, if you're a bartender. I've had multiple discussions this week about that and just found that to be interesting. It makes sense. It's a it's a fun environment. It's really cool being up there overseeing Cascade Park, and it's a great place. And it's somewhere that that whether you're visiting Tallahassee or a someone who lives within the metro area, I would highly encourage you guys to give it a look. It's Charlie Park Restaurant. And damn it, sorry, Matt. I'm just going to butcher the web address once again. CharlieParkRooftopBar.com. That's the website. My brain took a while to find that file, but it did, in fact, find. And that's the website that you can go to learn more about it, see some of the settings that I'm talking about, and to make reservations. Matzo Township, all the spots that you know and love. Charlie Park up there by the AC Hotel, truly a fantastic spot.
Grillmaster asked, will SMU be a power conference team this year? Yes, that's a conference game on FSU's schedule now. So SMU joined the ACC along with Cal and Stanford. So great ACC teams there.
I forget Stanford too. Yeah, I don't know why, but yeah, okay.
All right, Deacon Hill from Iowa has entered the transfer portal.
Mm.
He makes me feel skinny, so like I need him to be a starter somewhere again. He's fun to watch in a train wreck style way. Quick thoughts on the ACC lawsuit. Judge Cooper is a very big fan of mediation. That's not abnormal. I thought the line of questioning for the most part that he gave the ACC yesterday, to me, appeared favorable to Florida State. However, Florida State now has to go amend its complaint because the judge did not feel like that it was sufficiently clear as to what FSU was asking for. I would not bet money on this, but if I had to just guess, I think we could be heading for a situation where this is being heard in different courts.
Mm-hmm.
Simultaneous. Which would be interesting to figure out how they're going to do that. ACC doesn't seem real interested in settling until they are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Let's see what else. Yeah, I agree with most of the chat here. Like, it you don't want to have to amend to fix your pleading, but it's not like totally out of the ordinary. That happens. And yeah, I think he was going to, you know, to let you do that anyway. So, dude, that's really all I got for today, man. I like where this team's at. I feel better about this team after watching all of the other teams' spring games for Cover 3. So that's kind of, yeah.
Ain't nobody. I think that's good perspective. Yeah, I mean, it's easy just to watch your spring get frustrated, and you know, there's not a whole lot to take from spring games at this point in the college football evolution, and then you know, micro focus on that of what you didn't like or whatever else. Yep, you know, one or two areas that you'd like to address, see if that happens, and yeah, congratulations, you got really good roster. Your program is one of the considered one of the, you know, higher performing elite programs in all of college football. I wouldn't hyper focus on, you know, one position or something if you didn't see on Saturday that you don't think necessarily meets your level of expectation. And I certainly wouldn't hyper focus on it until you see if it gets addressed. And I'll just remind you that, yes, there's a portal window. There's also graduate transfers. I mean,
yep,
things happen.
Yeah, if you want some neutral, like non-biased commentary on this, this is your quote-unquote rebuilding year, and you're a co-favorite to win your league, and you are – just checking the latest odds here. Really only only slightly worse than a coin flip to make the playoff. You're like 40% make, 60% miss at the different Vegas things. So I think that really speaks to the job that they do and the job, of course, that the Battles End does with retaining players and showing the players all the options they have, you know, to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness for marketing opportunities. You know, that is really, if that's your rebuilding year, you're coin flipping to make the playoff and you're a co-favorite for your conference, you're doing a lot of things right.
It's fun. It's fun to be a fan of Florida State football again. Congratulations. It's taken, you know, we've done a roller coaster ride or two over the past decade. And this is a nice, high peak that you might be able to ride this stretch for a little while. You've got a 42-year-old head coach who I don't think is, you know, if you're not going to go to Alabama, I'm not sure what job it would be that you would take. And
are we watching like the Dallas Cowboys every offseason to see like if Jerry's going to hire Belichick or something?
yeah, I'd be interested in the series of dominoes that would have to take place to then have Mike Norvell leave Tallahassee. But no, I think you're in a great place. You should celebrate the fact that your football program has found a solid place of stability and is led by, you know, one of the best staffs in all college football. So, yeah. Good time.
Absolutely right. I'll see you, buddy.
All right, brother. Good talking to you.